Welcome to the Adonis Lifestyle Podcast. Today I'm interviewing David Donahue. He won the Junior Open, and so that's under 25 category. And David's pictures were really good, and a lot of people commented on them too. So you brought it pretty hard. So let's just get right into it. We were just talking about this. What did you? First of all, how old are you?
25, turning 26, and actually no, sorry, 24, turning 25, and. In July, so I guess, if I was allowed to do the newest competition, I still would have been in the junior. But I guess with the new rules, it'll be next year. So
yeah, next year. So okay, so you and I were just talking about this. Would you think of your pictures when you saw them?
Yeah, like I told you, I was pretty pleased with them. It was one of those things where it kind of crept up on me because I had been documenting my progress for the past like year and a half, pretty much. But I hadn't taken photos in probably like 3 or 4 months before that. So when I took the final pictures, I was pretty pumped with the way they came out. So it was definitely a big improvement over, 4 months before that. So
right. So now give us your training history before us. And I know that you did a really good, and I didn't prompt you to do this, but you did a really good blog post, like a kind of a two-parter showing your progression. And you even took a departure and, I know you had, or at least were in our community, and then you actually still did like the bulk thing. And can you give us like a your progression up until the last couple of years, sort of?
Okay, yeah. So like, pretty much when I started weightlifting, probably in high school for sports and stuff, I just kind of didn't know exactly what I was doing. I just would kind of like follow what other people in the gym were doing and just kind of learning from people and. Kind of just did my own thing, and it really wasn't great, and I didn't really pay attention to nutrition at all. I just kind of, ate whatever I ate and lifted and stuff and worked out. So then I would say when I got out of college, I think I was kind of, I must have been, I think, through Fitness Black Book, Rusty Moore's site, I was kind of like, I saw you guys post a video on there talking about, like, nutrition, and then I think it was a, you and BP did a podcast on supplements, and I kind of like saw that. I was like, okay, this makes a lot of sense. Everything you're saying makes so much more sense than some of the things I'd heard prior. So that's when I kind of bought the program, and I was like one of the first few guys on board, like when Jason was making his original transformation, and all those guys, Ron and Rich and stuff, and Didi. And but I didn't register on the forums. I was just kind of doing the program myself. So I started off doing the old build program for about 2 months, and actually looking back now, I had tremendous progress. I just didn't realize at the time. I think I put like an inch on my shoulders in like 2 months, and I got frustrated. I thought it was going slow, which is kind of ridiculous looking back now.
I remember communicating with you. I remember you sending me messages about rate of progress. It's funny because you're like a lot of guys who will report in like an inch gain, and I'm like, wow. And then but you are like, that's not enough. And I'm like, I think that's great, but it's funny the perspective difference.
Oh, definitely. Yeah. I mean, now things come so much slower than they were then. I look back and I'm like, man, what I would do for, an inch on my shoulders in 2 months. But, it was, so I was doing that, and I think I was probably like mid 180s at the time. And I just kind of,
how tall
like,
are you?
I'm 6'1".
Okay. Yeah.
So I was, I'd lost probably about 10 pounds doing Eat, Stop, Eat and doing that. So when I graduated college, I was probably $1.95. And so I did that. And then I kind of got, like I said, I got frustrated with the progress and what I thought was slow. And I decided just to try a different program, which was like a 3 days a week, just kind of a lot of compound lifts and stuff, which wasn't necessarily a bad program. But I just, I did like a 4,000 calorie, like a day bulking type of thing, thinking that was the reason I wasn't, getting where I need to get. And that's also because my perspective was so far off what I could attain. So I did that, and I ended up getting back up to like, close to 200 pounds, and just realized one day I looked awful. And it was good because it coincided when I kind of looked in some pictures like, wow, I really don't look good. And then it was the end of, I think, the transformation contest where Jason won, who's the overall winner. And I was like, okay, that's where I want to be. And that's kind of when I got back on board and started doing that again. So,
yeah, it was good. I'm glad because you even posted pictures, which was interesting because you were You were pretty lean before that, and then you just smoothed right out.
Yeah,
Like
exactly. Yeah.
you did a little picture chronology. That was really cool.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, when I kind of took the break from the Adonis workouts, I think I put on another like 10, 15 pounds after that, and really, like you said, it really smoothed out and stuff, and realized it looked awful. And then I got to the point where I was just, realized that I have to throw weight out the window, just lose weight until I feel like I look good, which ended up putting me down, I think, close to like 165 pounds, which is really like lighter than I can even remember being. But I looked a lot better. And then I think my final pictures came in at about 170 pounds. So yeah,
Well, it's
that
a
was.
good look. That weight looks really good on you, that's for sure.
Yeah, I mean, I still feel like I have some room to grow a little bit, but
Oh, yeah,
so I
I
kind
would.
of.
I mean, at your height, you definitely have room to grow.
Yeah.
But from here on in, that you, like you said, you have to accept it. You just have to accept that it's going to be slower. And I don't think. Well, I think you've proved to yourself, and I think we kind of know that bulking to the point where you lose all of that look is probably not going to expedite the process. It's a grind at this point.
Oh yeah, no, it was. I mean, if I could do that one over, I would definitely not do that. That was terrible. I mean, it took me. Even you hear all that kind of bro science type, whatever you want to call it. The guys in the gym would say you have to, eat a ton and do this and do that and all that stuff. And you hear it for so long, you believe it. And then it took me a while to kind of, we talked about the permission to be light thing, and it took me a while to kind of get that into my head. But once I did, I mean, it's become a piece of cake, which is nice. Nice having kind of this part of my life kind of down. So.
So have you now? Interesting, because I've already interviewed. Well, we've already done, and it's already up, the interview with Dan, and he still feels twinges of it. He's a lot older than you, and so it's interesting. I don't know that. Well, guys, like I think I'm kind of over it now, but it sounds like Dan still has twinges. He gets the fact that he looks better, lighter, but it's kind of like protein guilt. Like I talked to Kadhafi. We can't help it. We still have some of that guilt where every time we eat, we're like, oh man, I should have had some protein. Do you think you're actually over the concept of caring at all what you weigh, or do you think, does it still twinge? Like, does it still bug at you that you're like, oh, maybe I'm really supposed to be heavier, or is it kind of just, does it not affect you anymore, the concept of weighing any certain
Yeah,
amount?
I think it pretty much gotten to the point where it doesn't affect me anymore. There's still times where someone who like hasn't seen me in a while, like, wow, you lost a lot of weight, you look really skinny or something like that. But I know like people who have kind of like seen me go through the kind of transformation, they're just used to me now. This is me now to them. So
Right.
I don't hear those comments anymore. But definitely when I was losing the weight, you get the, oh, you're getting too skinny and you're this and you're that and stuff. And then you show them the after pictures of where I'm at now, and you know what I mean? It's the same person type thing.
Have you had anyone question it?
Oh no, no one's. I mean, no one's really questioning it. They've been, people have been impressed and kind of asking. Then they start asking, "What are you doing?" type of thing, and they're really seeking your advice, where before they weren't really, paying attention to what you were doing. So,
Right.
but yeah, no, no one's really questioning anything like that.
Yeah, it's funny. Some people actually just like even Dan said, people just were, oh, that's not you. But I don't get that when people think that they're actually lying to somebody and then having showing them a fake picture.
Right, yeah.
So yeah, and it's interesting you said that they're concerned that you're losing weight, or they notice it, and then you show them the pictures. They obviously don't think you're skinny when they see the after pictures.
Right, exactly, yeah.
So
Yeah, it's
yeah,
funny.
I
I think
get.
it's one of those things too, like we talked about, is when you're wearing a shirt and you've lost that weight, you don't look as big with a shirt on, obviously, but.
Well, with the same shirts, you got to kind of redo your wardrobe at that point.
Right, yeah, exactly. Like I'm wearing, medium shirts now, and before I was always wearing large or something, or even bigger, so.
Yeah, me too. It's kind of weird to be in a medium, but unless you're a really, really big person, that makes sense. I think it's a total North American thing where everyone's in larges and extra large. No one should be. I mean, you'd have to be a pretty damn big guy to be in a large and be in shape.
Right,
And
yeah,
I
oh yeah,
can't even,
definitely.
and unless you're a pro athlete, no one should be wearing an extra large who's actually in shape.
Right. Oh
So,
yeah,
yeah, I mean,
I
or super tall.
yeah. No, I totally agree with that. Just I think it's just something where it's something with society, or we just kind of, you know, people buy you large clothes. You know, I know, I think it was Gaddafi who was talking about in a blog post, or, you know, he got a large, either a large or extra large t-shirt, like a kind of a gift, and he was just kind of like, I don't wear this anymore. You know, but it's just kind of wired in people that that's what guys wear.
Well, he's your height, right? He's 6'1". I mean, people must just think, well, that's a big guy. And
right,
and,
exactly. Yeah, and exactly.
I think people's perception of what big and what being actually like as lean as you and Gaddafi are versus just an average, you know, otherwise in shape person who's just not that lean. I think people don't get the difference in size there. Like, I think people think pro athletes are all like 6-pack ripped under their equipment, but they're not. Like, even on a pro football roster or any of the pro sports, the guys who are really ripped, they're different than most of the guys on their team. Like, even basketball, they're not, they're just, all of them just aren't that lean. I mean, they're athletic lean, but not like how you guys showed up.
Right, yeah.
And I think that skews people's perceptions of how big people are supposed to be. So, well, anyways, let's move along here. What was the, so you've been around with us for a while. So did you have a perception shift when you joined us, or was it much of a stretch? It's because it's interesting. I find talking to younger guys intriguing because I can't even imagine. Like, it took me till by the time I was 30 to sort of even wrap, like, come out with this thing and believe it myself. So I don't even know if I'd be receptive at your age. Like, so it's interesting to hear from younger guys because I just assume younger, more stubborn. Not that I'm assuming you're stubborn. I just assume you're at your age, everyone's as stubborn as I was, and I guess arrogant too. So
right.
The fact that you bought in at your age, I find impressive or just novel, I guess. So was it like a stretch, or was it just logical, or?
Well, I think it was just kind of, everything just made so much sense. You know, like a couple of my other buddies, I'm trying to get them to listen to some of the podcasts now, because, you know, they've seen my transformation, and just some of the comments, like, wow, it just makes so much more sense than everything else you've heard. And I think one of the reasons was I didn't really know what was, you know, what it took and how hard you had to push to build muscle. So I just kind of always assumed, oh, the reason I haven't gotten where I wanted is because I wasn't eating enough. And then, you know, that's when I went and I tried that whole bulking thing and had pretty bad results from that. And then I kind of realized, I don't know if it was a podcast or it was just a conversation in the forums and people just talking about how hard you actually have to push yourself. And, you know, it's kind of like, you know, it's not going to be easy. It's going to hurt a little bit, but that's how you kind of grow and get better and stuff. And that's when I kind of really started focusing on just kind of pushing myself in the weight room. And that's when I started to see, I guess, majority of the results.
Right. So it was, I think the eating big's just a simple marketing, easy way out versus what you just said is you just got to grind it out in the gym.
Yeah, no, I definitely agree. I mean, it was once I started, like, you know, writing down, you know, if I did, you know, 3 sets of 8 with dumbbell curls with 40 pounds and I got all 3 sets, you know, the next time I went to the gym, the first set was 45. And if I only got 6 reps, I finished the final 2 with 40 and then do the final 2 sets of 40. And I just try and improve every time. And that's kind of how I myself to really push it. And before I would just sit and do the same weights for months and months and months, you know, and just not progress. So, I thought I was going to the gym. I'm working out, but I really wasn't, you know, I really wasn't working out. The difference between like
training and working out.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, progression, right? It's progressively gets heavier. It's why the same program eventually, there's only so much volume we can do until we get to like a volume limit. So we can add more and more sets and more reps, but that kind of, by the end of the week, there's only so much you can do until that's too much. But you, like, we've had this discussion before, and you're doing it the right way. The overall amount of weight lifted just keeps going up.
Yeah.
So, like, if you just took all the things you did and however much you did 5 years ago versus now, you should be heavier on all of them. And then five years from now, you should still be slightly heavier on all of them. And that's kind of your overall way of looking at progress. I mean, that's kind of, this is how it works. So I know you and I have gone back and forth in the forum about calories and stuff and your concept of going closer to maintenance and things like that. Can you kind of just walk us through how you ate to get ready for this last photo shoot and sort of where you're at now with like how you eat?
Yeah, I think I kind of stopped cutting probably last July. And that's where I got to the waist. I was happy. I was happy with my leanness. And at that point, I was just kind of, I want to focus on eating closer to maintenance and just really working on pushing hard in the gym type of thing. And I guess my thought process was kind of, you know, I still had maybe like 10 pounds. I was using you as a reference point, just kind of, okay, you know, you're closer to 180 and you're a little, you know, basically my height. So I need that trip where I need to get. And at the time I was 165. So I guess I was at the point where I assumed I didn't have that excess body fat to use. So I was like, I want to eat maybe closer, a little over maintenance, from I'm really slowly gaining, like maybe like a pound a month. And just kind of making sure, you know, it's just all muscle gain and stuff. And I just did it that way and really focused on these last 7-8 months have all been just focusing on, you know, gaining muscle basically.
Mm-hmm. So you'd already got to the leanest that you liked. Yeah. So you did the reverse of what everyone else says, bulk and cut. You cut to where you want to be and then just continued. There's no other way of saying it approach a sort of a lean gaining approach.
I would say it would be pretty much lean gain approach. Okay. I was just basically eating to a calorie level where I was gaining maybe, you know, no more than a pound and a half a month. Because I think we've talked about on the forums that that's pretty much where an intermediate lifter can kind of the maximum muscle he can gain a month. And that's kind of where I wanted to make sure I wasn't gaining fat along with my weight gains.
Did you monitor like your look and your waist or like?
Oh yeah,
kinda...
no, definitely. Yeah, I wouldn't weigh myself, but I would just. Measure my waist every morning pretty much. So it would be, I'd probably stop eating around 10 o'clock at night. And then I would measure myself before I went to work in the morning. So, you know, close to like eight to 10 hours fasted.
Yeah.
And I would just make sure that wasn't going up. And as long as my lifts and my shoulder measurement was going up and that was staying constant, that's kind of, you know, that's how I was making sure I was progressing.
Mm-hmm.
So.
And so you're happy with the way that whole system worked out for you.
Yeah, I thought it worked. Yeah, I think it worked great for me. I was just, I would tend to like, I would just eat a little more on days I lifted, and just kind of like, I guess it was like a little bit of a cycle, but of calories, but not too much. And just it was more so just because, it helped me kind of keep track of things and keep track of my waist measurement. And just, I'd eat back towards like my normal maintenance on days that wasn't working out. It was just kind of like. Almost
so
like
you
week.
Ate to energy expenditure. So if you had a big workout day, you ate what the kind of your guess at the calories were for the workout.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Or if I had like a basketball game or something like that, I would add something there just to make sure I was still eating close to my maintenance level basically for the day. So.
Right. Yeah. No, that's a good strategy. So what do you, what's your moving forward? What workouts did you follow at the end there? Were you still doing the main cycle or did we?
Yeah, I started, I think my last summer was my second time through the main cycle, and I think that was still the old build 2.0 maybe at the time, or maybe that's the one I was using. And then I did ATS, which kind of took me to the fall, and then I started doing anabolic again, the cluster cycles, and I kind of felt like I wasn't ready for those. I think.
Yeah, I remember you asking. I remember you actually getting a few weeks in and just kind of. We kind of, as a group, or I remember you talking to me about it and you just decided that was not right yet.
Yeah, I felt like I just had, you know, I know BP's talked about how it's kind of like for the last 5 pounds. I remember him either telling me that in the email or on his blog. And I kind of felt I wasn't there yet and stuff. And I got a couple months into it and I just kind of felt, I'd also been battling a little bit of a shoulder injury and just all that, like, you know, 5 days in a row of benching or whatever. It's just, I couldn't do it. And it was, it got too much, so I kind of went back. I did the foundations workout, and I did.
All right.
I did the first 2 months of that, and then I did, because of my shoulder again. I didn't want to go the real heavy three reps because I thought going that heavy with stuff like the bench press just kind of wasn't good for me at the time.
Right.
And then I went back, and now I'm still doing the 3.0 again. So.
Okay, that's good, and that's a smart thing to do is back off on the ones you just find out you can't handle. I mean, I don't even know anyone your age would even quite yet be to the point of needing anabolic again necessarily. Anyways,
yeah,
I know me and BP both had a burst after when we came up with the concept, and once he laid out the whole work. I mean, we were testing it before we finalized the workouts, and we both had a kind of a jump in gains.
Yeah.
But you know, we're in our mid-30s, so it might take you like 10 years before you actually have to resort to that kind of training.
Right, yeah. I mean, that was, it's definitely a bear of a program. I mean, that was tough.
Oh yeah, if you're not ready for it, by the second week you'll be like, this is stupid, why am I doing this?
Yeah.
Well, I don't doubt it. It's the even people who like love to train upper body and don't want to train legs, by the fourth day of that upper body week, you probably are just dying to train legs.
Oh yeah,
just
no,
to not have to do it. Yeah.
And then you're looking on day five and you're like, I got 8 sets of, you know, 8 coming off from bench press, something like that. And you're just like, God, I can't do this.
Yeah, well, this can't possibly be right. What'd you think of ATS, anyways?
Oh, I thought that was great. I mean, the kind of the timed reps were brutal. Those were tough. I think I'd read one of Jason's, you know, blogs about doing ATS and how he was, you know, just completely gassed and fell over at the end. I was kind of like, oh, you know, it can't be that bad. And then I, you know, you get there, and by the end, you're doing like the piston like lateral raises, and you're using like, you know, the lightest freaking weight in the gym, and you know.
Oh yeah, the flow sets, yeah.
Yeah, and your arms just like, you just drop them, and your arms collapse, and you're just kind of like, you're just like, God, I want to crawl around you right now. It's a great workout. I love the.
Yeah, all that first cycle of it's purposely, it only lasts 4 weeks for good reason. I don't think you could do more than that.
Yeah, no, definitely. Yeah, and the only other thing that really just kind of was tough for me this last kind of throughout the contest was just the shoulder thing. I kind of tried to help guys in the forums a little bit about it, but it was one of those things where I don't know how I think I kind of remember how it happened. I think I was doing some seated shoulder presses, dumbbell shoulder presses, and I think, you know, I kind of got off track and the weight kind of started falling back, and instead of just dropping it like I should have, I tried to, you know, it was stupid, and I tried to hold on and bring it back in line, you know.
Yeah.
And I really either all the muscles tightened up, or I kind of pulled it, or I mean, I don't think I tore anything, but my left shoulder was just kind of bothering me, and I kind of had to deal with that throughout the contest. So sometimes I was adjusting different things. Like, I know Elvis was in kind of the same boat, but I kind of did things in terms of dumbbells. I keep my palms facing in and just kind of trying to keep my elbows close to my body. Because before, I guess, I was benching, even with the flat bar, I was kind of had my elbows flared down 90 degrees and, you know, kind of bringing the bar up high, where, you know, the traditional kind of like bodybuilder, you know, bench press. And it kind of did a number on my shoulder. So,
yeah, it's people don't realize there's a lot of adjustment. Very few people can just go through perfectly every exercise. Just because it's written in a book doesn't mean it's the right. Like, if you need to adjust from flat bench press to incline, then do it. If you need to do a shoulder dumbbell press with your palms facing each other, then forward. I mean, I make tons of those adjustments just to get around, like, you know, 10 and 15 year old imbalances and injuries. Like, I dislocated a shoulder and it just doesn't go. Like, you have to work your way around them.
Yeah.
So you always got to find like little workarounds. Like, people ask me that stuff all the time, but that's like you said, I mean, those adjustments are necessary, and at the time it's hard to realize, but yeah, you should, you know, I guess for everyone listening, if something feels like it's going, just get rid of the weight immediately. Don't try to correct in the middle of the set. You can strain a muscle or a smaller muscle, and that could last for a long time, like months. So just if something hurts, just drop the weight, just get it out of there.
Yeah. I mean, I got lucky that I think it was pretty minor, and I just had a little bit of body work done on it, some like kind of massage type work, and it was able to kind of release the tension in those muscles. And I switched up some technique and some different things, and it's been great since then. But I think I was talking to in the forum today, I wrote a post where it's just, you know, it's just the ego thing. You walk into the gym and, because now that I'm doing palms facing in, I can't do, you know, maybe like 20, 25 pounds less than what I used to be able to do. And sometimes you get in the gym and I just kind of look and I'm like, man, I wonder if I could still do it. And you get that ego where you want to try it, but it's just, at this point, it's just not worth it, because I don't feel like, you know, going through that again and hurting myself. So.
Yeah. And I mean, you're probably young enough and durable enough to actually, you could probably do it without hurting yourself, or at least, but if I tried that, it'd be one or two reps and I'd set myself back 5 months, and that just goes away. It's good that you're realizing it now, because we made a lot of bonehead mistakes when we were in our, like, all the way through our 20s. So it's smart to know it now. And no guy your age typically like ever bothers listening to guys my age, but it makes a difference. Like 10 years from now, you're going to be thanking yourself for being more, you know, more cautious than us. Like Pilon, even Pilon, he just did it recently. He wanted to see if he could get back up to his heaviest bench press. And as soon as he gets approaching 350-ish or 340, there's a spot where he can get back to it really quick. And the minute he tries to go just a pound or two heavier, it all falls apart. And then he sets himself back months. And I mean, we still fall for it, you know, so it's tempting. It's tempting to want to pick up the heavy weights.
Oh, definitely. Yeah.
So it's good that you already got that out of your system. So where are you going now? Like moving forward, what's your sort of plan for this year anyways?
I'm still going to finish up 3.0 and then move on to ATS for a second time. And I think, you know, long-term, my goal is just to get to my golden kind of level of shoulders. I think I still have about 3 inches to go. Because I think for my height, I'm like around 52 inches, and whether I can get there or not. But because obviously my waist is a little under, you know, what the rate, you know, my golden waist for my height should be. But I guess I would just, my goal is just to work towards that, I think, and just kind of keep doing the workouts and stuff like that. What I was thinking about maybe for some time, like towards the end of the summer, just because it's, you know, nice out and stuff and be outside more, is maybe trying something with maybe doing the, and I didn't know if this was even possible, doing like the booster workouts. It's kind of like almost like do each like two a day type thing, and let's go to the gym 3 days a week instead of 4 days a week.
And just making your workout just out of the boosters?
Like, yeah, just doing it just the boosters and maybe doing like, you know, 3 times a week, 2 per day, because that way you're not, you know, instead of going 4 or 5 times a week, only going 3 times a week. I don't know if that would be enough. There's something I was thinking about trying just to kind of maintain over the summer or just kind of
going. You could test it out. We actually had someone on the Venus side. We just created boosters for them, and she was testing that out. And it actually, their boosters are pretty they're actually kind of neat. I'm assuming none of you guys have seen them, but I've added in a bunch of new rep styles and set styles that I've never introduced to the Adonis group. She tried it, and it actually was a bit too much for her. So, I can't directly compare it. It's the only experience I have of someone trying to do a full booster, like a full 2 weeks of boosters. And I think she made it 2 weeks. I think, believe it or not, our boosters are a bit tamer than theirs. Theirs are, they've got some all kinds of weird things. You know, the Fibonacci pyramid, well, they have something called a super Fibonacci pyramid, and it's actually a superset of two Fibonacci pyramids right on top of each other. And then, yeah, it's pretty nuts. And then there's like, there's some pretty crazy stuff I put in there. So I probably should redo a new round of that for you guys too. But, definitely worth trying. The volume will probably be manageable, I think. I don't think it'll I don't think it'll be not enough if you go to it. I don't know. Who knows? You got to do it though. If you're going to do it, let us know for sure. Do it. Keep a record of it.
Oh yeah, no, I definitely would. Yeah, I just, it's one of those things where just with the summer here now and stuff, I kind of want to maybe not go to the gym as much and do more outside while I can and other things. But I definitely still want to go at least 3 times a week. But
And it would be 2 body parts a day. That's not bad.
Right. Yeah. That's what I figured.
It's almost like a traditional bodybuilding split.
Yeah.
Yeah, like back and biceps, you know, chest and triceps, that sort of thing.
Right,
you could essentially set it up that way. And then if it doesn't feel like enough, just add in a couple extra sets and then see how it goes.
Yeah.
And that's a good point though, taking a break. How often do you take, like, do you purposefully take time out, like a week out just to recover?
It kind of depends on how my body's feeling. Like, I definitely did after, when I stopped, you know, the cluster cycles after those first couple months, and then I was going to go back to the foundations. I think I took a week off in between there because I was just beat up. My body, my shoulder was bothering me, and those workouts just beat me up pretty good, so I kind of needed the time off then. But then after I finished muscle building foundations, I kind of just jumped right into 3.0 because I felt pretty good, and it was already the middle of the contest at the time, so I didn't want to take a week off in the middle of the contest and just kind of kept trucking, I guess.
Right.
But I more so listen to my body and just kind of, if I feel like I need time off, I'll take it. And if not, I don't. But I've been feeling pretty good. The way I, the way I've been doing the 3.0 is I go on Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday. So I kind of have a day midweek, and then I have the weekend to really just do nothing and just kind of refresh myself. So.
And then how often do you actually end up taking a full week off? Like in a given year, is it all over the place? Or can you even remember?
I would say probably take maybe like 3 weeks off a year. It's hard for me to really pinpoint it, but I definitely did after, like I said, after Cluster Cycles, and I'm pretty sure I took one after ATS as well before the Cluster Cycles.
Well, it makes sense. If you're feeling like you need it, just take it. Because everyone has this question, so that's what I was asking. But your answer is basically what I tell people. Essentially, take the time when you need it. You'll know. Like, when you feel like, man, this is just, like, everything's catching up, then that's when you need the time off.
Right.
And the key isn't to take time off and then go do something even more stressful. The key is to take time off and actually take time off of everything. It's kind of the concept of a vacation. It's like,
right,
take the time off from training, but also take the time off from other responsibilities. So you really are just letting your entire system come down and relax. I just tell people it's going to happen probably two or three times a year, completely out of your control. Like, you either might get sick or things might just catch up and you just literally don't have the time, and somehow it's just going to happen. But at least one of those times should be a full on everything off, like vacation from everything.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you just don't recover. Like, it just doesn't sort of happen.
Right. Yeah. And I can believe that. Definitely. Yeah. I think when I took that week after Cluster Cycles, I mean, that was really necessary. I mean, I feel like a different, I mean, I think I even had a time during Cluster Cycles where I'd gotten the flu and, you know, I couldn't eat or drink anything for like a couple of days. And it was just like, my body was just so beat up. So I really just needed that break, which is really good. So
I think it feels good afterwards.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's the key, is just kind of listening to your body and just kind of going from there, because it's pretty amazing how your, you know, the body kind of tells you or guides you in certain ways, you know.
It'll tell you when it needs a break.
Oh, definitely, yeah. It was weird. The other, like, one of the things, the day of my pictures, I had a really bad head cold. I had it all weekend, and then I think I took my pictures the Monday before the contest ended, so 2 days before. And I had this really bad head cold. No matter what I did, no matter what I ate, I was still hungry, and I just kept eating and eating and eating. And like, I remember like around like 5 o'clock, I was like, oh man, my pictures are gonna be terrible, and you know, I'm gonna be all bloated and stuff like that. But I mean, I was, you know, they ended up being fine and stuff. But it was weird. Like, it was just, you know, my body was telling me to eat, and I just kept eating, and it was one of those things. But
yeah, well, whatever you did, it worked. I mean, your pictures look really good, so it's not like it washed you out or anything.
Right, yeah, I mean, that's what I was worried about, but I guess I think I was fighting that cold, and I kind of needed the food or something, I don't know, but I think that's kind
of... I guess so your contest prep notes would be like, get sick, eat a lot, take pictures.
Right, yeah, exactly, yeah.
Well, I mean,
so
I don't know.
You stick hard and see if you can catch something.
Yeah, your definition, your definition was good. It was really good, so I don't see... You know, obviously, whatever you did for a day or two of eating didn't really change anything.
Oh, right. No, yeah. It wasn't even the day before. It was literally just the day of the contest. For some reason, I just felt like I overate. And you know what I mean? Maybe it wasn't even as much as I thought it was. And it's because I've, you know, been so strict lately that even just going a few hundred calories over what I had been doing seems like I'm overeating by a lot. But it was just kind of a worry. And I was like, oh man, I hope this doesn't, you know, completely ruin everything. But it ended up being fine.
Yeah, it's interesting. A few other people have said something similar where they get so used to eating at or around maintenance that eating just above it, even 500-600 calories, even 700 calories above, it's not going to change your look on a temporary transient basis, but it feels, once you've kind of learned to eat at maintenance, it feels like, oh my God, I must have just destroyed everything in one day. And
definitely.
It's like we become way more aware of what 100 or 200 calories actually feels like.
Yeah.
Versus people who've never paid attention, when they overeat like 2,000 calories, and then that feels bad.
Right. Yeah.
So
yeah,
it's definitely
more aware.
Yeah. So all right. Well, what's your what advice would you give to guys your age, like people in your similar situation?
Like
your buddies are asking, what do you actually say to them, or is it? Like, let me say it this way, to someone who actually will listen to you versus somebody who's kind of skeptical and not going to not respond.
Yeah, I mean, like, well, my thing is, I think people should just try and get to a kind of leanness they're happy with, and just kind of go from there in terms of, you know, building muscle and just understanding it's a slow process. I think one of the biggest things for me was you want it all so fast, and I had a hard time buying into the fact that it's going to take time, and you know, you just can't have it happen overnight. And there's nothing that's going to speed it up, you know, like I, you know, you used to think you could eat a ton and it'll speed it up, but it doesn't. It just makes you look bad. It makes you gain body fat. So.
Yeah. I'm 37, 36, 37 years old. And I'm just over 180, 183 or four. So anyone who thinks I've been training for, you know, 19 years, 18 years. So anyone who thinks they can do it in 5 or 6 years is kind of getting a little bit ahead of themselves.
Oh yeah. And that's one of the things I have been trying to get some of my friends to look at the pictures and just try and guess different people's weights. And, you know, and I kind of tell them you know, how much people weigh afterwards. And they're just kind of like, you know, their jaw drops because, you know, some of them are heavier than people in the photos don't look like, you know what I mean? And it's a hard concept to kind of grasp.
Well, it's shirt on, shirt off big. Like that's everything right there.
It really is. Yeah. And I think,
like most,
I think,
go ahead.
You know, for people who are kind of young, I think patience is the biggest thing, because I think not being patient is what leads to the majority of this, you know, the mistakes, you know, just trying to just hopping around from program to program because you're not satisfied and overeating and thinking that's going to, you know, spur growth and things like that. I mean, if you just work hard and really follow the program that you know have laid down for you and stuff and just know that it's going to take a while, I think that's kind of, I kind of realized that and said, hey, if it takes 10 years, it takes 10 years, and I'm happy with where I'm at now, and, you know, I know I'm making progress every day, and I think that's kind of the way I thought about it, so.
Yeah, and the way you do it, getting lean and then building, is for the entire 10-year progression, you always look good versus being kind of fat and bloated for 10 years and then be like, oh, maybe there's enough muscle under there. Let's cut down and find out.
Exactly, yeah. That's like, you know, with BPs, inflammation kind of thing. And that's, you know, another thing. I don't know enough about that, but.
It could actually kill your gains if you're constantly in a bulked up state.
Right. Yeah. And that's another reason for always maintaining your leanness and stuff. And, you just, yeah, like you said, you just look better all the time. Like I know when I go to like a pool party or something like that, I know I'm going to look good now. And, you know, last summer I pretty much didn't. So,
yeah. Well, no, it's amazing. Guys will actually get caught in the bulking cycle for basically the better part of, well, all of their 20s and the better part of their 30s. Some guys will spend all of their sort of best pool party years, I guess you could say, sort of bloated when they shouldn't have been.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you see guys in the gym with just, you know, they look humongous with their shirts on, but you can tell they have like, you know, the barrel chest and stomach and stuff. And, you know, they definitely shouldn't weigh what they do, you know. And I've become more aware of that now, I guess, because of what I've learned here. So that's kind of helped me, which is good. But I think, in like you said, the other thing too is just having realistic expectations of what you can get to, like training 15, 20 years and you're 183 pounds or so. And like people think that, you know, if you think you can get to, you know, 220 pounds, 6% body fat, you know, you're kind of kidding yourself a little bit, unless you're just so genetically, you know, in perfect genetics, basically. So.
Yeah, but if you had those type of genetics, you'd probably be a pro athlete or already competing at a high level in bodybuilding. That's what people don't get when they look at a pro athlete or look at a, like a pro caliber bodybuilder. Yeah, there's tons of drugs involved, but that's somebody who's already a genetic freak and drugs.
Yeah.
So no matter what you do, you can't be them. You just, and there's only, like, as far as bodybuilding, there's only a few hundred of them that get there. Like, that's so few. Out of hundreds of millions of people, just a few can get there. And then pro athletes, I don't know which, I don't even care what sport you're looking at. You've got a few thousand in each sport that make it that far. So if you, you know, if you watch football and you're like, oh, that, I don't want to look like that guy, you can't. Because if you could, you'd be there with them. Like, you'd be a pro. So, and that's, it doesn't mean you can't look great. It just means you can't be 240 pounds and lean. It's just very few people on earth can do that.
Yeah. Oh yeah. So, like you said, you have to be the genetic outliers. Like I look at a guy like Dwight Howard. I mean, his shoulders are like as wide as a truck, and the guy is just, how the heck does he do that? But I mean,
and look at, he looks different compared to all other pro basketball players. Like,
oh,
that's,
yeah.
He's an outlier amongst outliers.
Exactly.
So,
yeah, you know, he's
so
really
the freakiness just keeps, like, you can find somebody out there who's just, he doesn't add up. You got, there's guys and girls out there who don't add up on any chart. Like, no normal distribution. They don't fit anywhere on the chart. They're just so beyond everybody. So,
right.
But those are the ones we see on TV on a regular basis if you watch sports. Like, you're looking at the ones who just don't resemble other humans. And then, I guess it's sort of like runway models for women. There's a few that have the look or have the body shape for it, but they're one in a million. There's just not very many of them. Same with, and the problem is it makes guys like you and I think that we're supposed to be that much bigger or that much heavier when
right.
you look your best, significantly lighter than you probably ever thought you were supposed to be.
Oh yeah, no, yeah, definitely, yeah. I mean, that's one of the reasons I'm fine with my ways, because I look better than I ever have. And, you know, me and my buddies were talking about the other night and just kind of joking around. It's like, you don't walk around with a sign on your back that says 185 or 196 or whatever, your weight, it just doesn't really matter. I mean, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know where it was where guys kind of became so obsessed with the number on the scale, I guess, but.
I think it's an issue with shorter guys more than taller guys, because taller guys can be heavy. I mean, if something about being heavy matters, I think it's a height issue. I think it's a short man problem. So guys who are short, and I don't think I'm short. I think 6 feet's slightly above average. So I don't think I've ever had a being short issue. But I would imagine that it's part of the short guy trying to get respect by, well, since he can't be taller, he can just be bigger.
Right.
So he can be a 200-pound big guy. It's the short guy's way of trying to be taller, is what I'm trying to say.
Right.
Which this is not going to work. Like, you're just gonna look bad. You're gonna look worse. And for you to look your best, you actually need to be lighter than the taller guys. But like you said, who cares? It's not like we have labels and people judge. It doesn't change your life if you're heavier. So.
Right.
Yeah. All right, man. Well, that was pretty good. Do you have any final things that we didn't get to? Or are you pretty happy where we're ending here?
Yeah, I mean, I think that kind of covers the majority of kind of what went on with me. I mean, can't think of too much else.
Oh, yeah, that's it. That's it. You thinking of level 2 next year or no?
Yeah. I'm kind of glad actually that it's a year away type of thing, because I know for me, I'm kind of in this making slow progress here. So in order to be able to compete with like an Allen or something like that, I'm going to need another year to really kind of gain some ground if I can.
Yeah. Well, I think it's only fair for
maybe getting the top, 5 or 6 pounds
the top,
on the frame.
Yeah. The top open finishers now move on to just it's best versus best now. So that's the direction we're heading.
Yeah. That'll be a lot of fun. It'll definitely be motivating. That's for sure.
Yeah. Oh yeah, for sure. All right, man. Well, that was a good call. So, for David Donahue, I'm John Barbin, and that's your Adonis Lifestyle Podcast.